Hey, it's Wally, and I just want to thank so many people, our potties, the people that listen to the radio station, for partnering together to make a difference in the lives of Ukrainian refugees. This thing over there is a mess. We're entering the fifth month of this, and it's just heartbreaking to see what people are going through and how they're having to live. But here's the upside. Together, we have sent more than 100,000 meals to Ukraine already. These meals are being distributed by 3,500 pastors who are risking their lives every day to minister to these families and get them the food that they need. So if you've given, thank you so much. Now, we're down to the last couple weeks of the month, and how cool would it be to up the ante here and send another 50,000 meals by the end of July? I know it sounds like a lot, but at 25 cents a meal, that's not a lot, and a little bit from each of us can go a long way. I know I've already done my part, because I'm never going to ask you to do something I won't do, but think about it. $100 sends 400 meals, and then if you roll that out and do $500 or $1,000 gift, imagine the impact that you're having. So if you want to get involved, you've seen all the hardship and the heartache and thought, man, I wish there was something I could do. This is something you can do. Just join us by texting Wally to 91999. That's Wally to 91999. And the cool part of this is, man, you get to be the answer to a mom's prayer as she's wondering how she's going to feed her children. Again, text the word Wally to 91999. Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast. All those things that we did not get to during the course of the show today. So we're going to just start off with Betty Rock. She had a couple things that I was like, oh, I want to talk about that in the Aftercast today.
So Texas State University, next spring, they're offering a new college course. And it's on a topic that you're probably thinking, what? Harry Styles.
Don't get it.
You know him from One Direction.
Okay, he was the long-haired one, and he was good-looking. I'll give him that. But, like, he came out, and he kind of broke out and did probably better than anyone else. I couldn't even tell you another one of the One Direction guys, but I could at least name him. But not an impressive, to me, solo career, but I think he actually did fairly well.
Yeah, this course is called Harry Styles and the Cult of Celebrity, Identity, the Internet, and European Pop Culture.
Okay, let me just tell you this. As a parent who paid for college, if my kid told me they were in that class, I would lose my ever-loving mind. Now, if I was a kid, I would love to take that class.
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course. Well, the professor said it's kind of like a history class. They will study Harry's music and his movies. He's been in some historical...
Like, he has?
Yeah, it was a war one. Where he
Dunkirk.
He was in Dunkirk?
Yeah, he was like a very... Because that movie was a movie with very few actual main characters.
Right.
He was just like a soldier.
Oh, okay. It was a good movie. I liked it. It was a little long.
It was.
But it was good.
It's already been... The class has already been approved by the panel of professors saying that it is legit. And the professor said, quote, "As a historian, I want the class to see how the world has changed in the last 12 years and how to put that into historical context through the lens of Harry and how they can learn from him and his art, activism, and philosophy."
Interesting. I mean, it's an interesting choice. I mean, I guess he's probably big enough to do that with. I've seen teachers do this all the time in college classes. It's like Bruce Springsteen, and they'll take a subject of a band that they like or something like that, and they'll make a class and make it applicable. I could actually see, like, I taught at a school in Seat. I taught at CCU, but I also taught in Seat at Lipscomb, and we got to design the curriculum for a class. And from the outside, if somebody was reading it and the assignments that we gave, they'd be like, this is silly. Why are you building structures with popsicle sticks? You know, but it was about teamwork. And we watched how the group evolved and what the group interacted like. And so it had a purpose. I actually can see somewhat of a purpose behind this, because you take somebody that the kids would like, and then you force them to put it into a different context of not just, oh, it's great music, but it's like, yeah, how did the world change? And what is good and bad about what was and what is based on watching somebody's life? I actually think that would be interesting. Applied education and things that are practical, it's something I missed as a kid. Like, they've gotten better about it, but when I was a kid, it was reading, writing, and arithmetic, and there was no room for anything like fun. Like, my school had so few electives. You had sports, and you had chorus, band, and yearbook. That was pretty much it. Mm-hmm. You know, like other schools that I knew, like they had radio stations, they had TV stations. We had none of that stuff. I would have loved to do that kind of thing. So I think these classes are pretty great.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see. I mean, I feel like they're getting more and more kind of crazy sounding.
I mean, sure. Let's not forget that I took a Harry Potter class
in
college.
That's kind of ridiculous.
That I ultimately reflect on as being quite ridiculous, mm-hmm. unapplicable, and more of a book club than a class.
I could see that too. Like, yeah, when the teacher just doesn't want to do anything. Like for me, the one class that we designed, we had all these creative assignments, and it was a pain to grade because it was designed to every assignment that people had to create something, there was a deeper purpose for it. And so, like, I had to grade, and I kept telling them, I'm not grading you on the actual art that you're creating, I'm grading you on the effort and on the story, you know, and that's what's important to me. And so, I guess, again, parents probably looking at it would be like, what is the point of this? Did you tell your parents you were taking a Harry Potter class?
I don't know.
Yeah, I would have kept that quiet too.
I might have done that.
Yeah, I would have been like, no, you're taking math. Take a math elective.
And I honestly, in terms of like looking at college, because in college, I think you do need the occasional class that is just like fun and lets you get the credit hours, because you have to get so many elective credit hours that it's hard to find like, you know, 30 different classes that are going to teach you something super applicable. That one I would have replaced with like an economics class, maybe.
I did what I think was smart, and maybe if kids are starting to get ready for college, they could do this. I did all the hard work up front. Remember the other day we were talking to that person that called and said, eat the frog first? Because he's like, you have to eat this slimy frog, so do the hard thing first. I took all of my hard classes and got them out of the way. So my last semester of the junior college I went to was badminton and windsurfing. Like, that was my last semester in photography. Like, it was so great. And then my last semester of regular college was personal fitness, golf, and something else. Yeah. And like, and so I saved all the easy, fun classes for the end of both of my college time. And it made at least graduating. Like, I felt I was so light. And everyone else is like, I've got to get a B to, or a C to pass, and I'm going to be a hose. And I'm like, I'm windsurfing, you know? It was so great.
Yeah, I get that. My other story has to do with artists that try to play in both fields of pop as well as country. And so I'm going to list to you a couple of artists, and I want to see if you think they're country or are they pop?
Oh, for sure.
Now, I would also like to point out that had this topic been brought up back in the 70s, 60s, 50s, there would have been no guessing.
No, everybody knew their lane and they stayed in it.
And they stayed in it. But now all artists are just trying to go in all different genres.
Yeah, it's sad to me too. I mean, it's twofold. One, it's nice that different genres are accepting of different people coming into their genre. But part of it to me is like, it's a money grab. Hey, you know, you could do a country album and do okay. Like Steven Tyler from Aerosmith did a country album. Like, and he got like a critically acclaimed for it. Like, no. Absolutely not. Stay in your lane.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Stay in your lane, bro.
Okay, so the first one I'm going to put up is Taylor Swift.
I don't even think of her country anymore. I just think of her pop.
No, she's totally current.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling 22. I hate that on my my Amazon, her album, I think Lover is on my thing.
Oh, is that the new one?
No, it's an old one. Aww. And there's a song called Paper Rings that keeps coming up. And
you're such a victim.
You jam out every time, though.
I know. I do like it. It's my fault. But like, I don't even think of her as country anymore.
But she got started in country.
Do you ever think of her as country anymore?
No, not like, anymore.
Like cute little country Taylor, 17 or whatever it was, throwing pebbles at a window and standing in the rain and her wide-eyed look at love. Yeah. I miss that girl.
She doesn't do that anymore. And most people would agree she's more pop than country. Yeah. The second one, Luke Bryan.
How is there anything of other than a question? This world ain't half as bad as it looks. Yeah. I believe most people are good. I love that. Like, I believe this world ain't half as bad as it looks. I can't read books. Like, that's Luke Bryan to me.
I think the reason that he was up for debate is because he is moving into the bro country situation. Mm. And also, too, he's on American Idol as a judge. And so a lot of pop culture kids really? Are seeing him.
He is straight up country yeah. to me. Like he says, I'm not a cowboy, I'm a plowboy. So he wears a baseball cap.
To but me, he's country. Fake country.
Really? I would agree with that.
I don't think he could yeah. ever get rid of his fake country accent, though. I think it's a real country accent, but I couldn't imagine him okay. like singing in a way that you were like, oh, that's not country.
He mm-hmm. puts it on like the freaking country guys do. Oh. Yes, they're Australian, but they grew up in America. I'm on to you, Joel and Luke. I know you could talk American.
Okay, next one is Dolly Parton.
Oh, yeah, come on now. Working 9 to 5. Getting into the Christian genre a little bit more than anything
she
else
did.
Lately.
But, you know, she started out in country doing Jolene.
Yes.
Jolene. She sang with Porter Wagner. Yeah. Like, she was country.
Yeah.
And she still is. But she, in the 70s, 80s, she was in the pop, you know, I guess the pop genre. I mean, that 9 to 5.
Islands in the Stream.
Yeah, that's not country.
Yeah, I guess so. But she's always country to me.
Well, like, most people agree.
Yeah,
she's country.
There's like no debate about that. I do find Dolly is a very interesting case study on people. Because I started writing something that was about her a little bit recently. People who are nothing like Dolly. And it's really interesting to me. And I think it's because she's really good at loving people and loving them well. And she is very accepting. Like, she's accepting of the LGBT community. LGBT, I forget. Plus community. LGBT, I don't even know. Yeah, T. But at the same time, she doesn't cater to it like in her parks, like Disney tries to do. Mm-hmm. But they don't hate on her for it. They hate on Disney for it. If you don't, you know, do this, because Disney let them get away with it. But Dolly is just, she has people's respect because I think she's kind to people and she loves people. But she still is Dolly and she still stays true to herself and to her faith, which I think is impressive. And maybe you don't agree with her, but you still like her, you know, and not many people can do that. You know, that's not an easy feat in this world.
Yeah, she somehow figured it out for sure. Another one, Carrie Underwood.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Shatter every window until it's all blown away. Yes.
I don't know if Carrie Underwood has ever figured out where she belongs. Like, I feel like every song she does is just yelling.
She's pop country, but she's been showing up now more doing like guest appearances with bands. Like, she played with Guns N' Roses. She did, I want to say, like a AC/DC cover the other day and stuff like that. Like, she's got that, like, that Trailer Park Rock gene, I think, buried somewhere in there.
Really?
In her. Yeah, she does.
I don't know about that.
I think so.
I just think that she's never really fit a genre. Like, I to me, she always just comes across as just blah.
Oh, really? Ooh. Yeah, she's not Betty's not a Carrie fan. I was trying to see if she was at church the other day, because Mike Fisher, who played for the Predators, is her husband, and it was a cool thing. Like, we always highlight baptisms, and he was baptizing their son, and I know she had been traveling, but there's no way she was going to miss that.
Yeah.
They videotape it from another place in the church, and so I'm sure she was there for that, which I'm sure that was a great moment for her and her family, but
that is
I didn't
sweet.
See it, even if she is blah, to quote Betty.
Heard it here first. And then lastly, Miley Cyrus. Mm,
yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. Kill me. I like that song. I feel gross.
Do you think she's pop country?
She, like Taylor, I've forgotten the little country, because she didn't spend a lot of time in country.
No.
She was just, you know,
no.
She did Hannah Montana, which she was country and pop in that. But when she actually came out to doing music as an adult, she definitely leaned more to the pop quickly on that stuff. So I put her in the pop category.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, what we've said is pretty much what everybody is agreeing with. Carrie Underwood was the closest. Like, they said country. She's around 76% country. The rest is pop.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Because even though she's doing pop-ish sounding songs, they're still in the country. Like, the radio stations and stuff like that see her as country. Where radio stations like country stations don't see Taylor Swift as country anymore. Mm-mm. Like they'll still play Carrie Underwood songs, but they're not going to play the new stuff by Taylor Swift.
True.
Now, you know, we're talking about artists that were crossing genres. If you look at Hootie and the Blowfish, that was one of the big surprises. Hootie and the Blowfish, and they're from South Carolina, so that's got a country feel to it, that place.
Darius Rucker.
Darius Rucker, exactly. So Darius Rucker goes from being in Hootie and the Blowfish, and then he writes a country song, and then he is embraced by the country community. The country community is actually pretty good at embracing people from other genres and welcoming them in, surprisingly good at it. Mm-hmm. And I almost think it's kind of like the Christian genre. We do the same thing. We're like, oh my gosh, somebody wants to pay attention to us from the mainstream. This is amazing. And we're like, you're great. Like we had the lady from Lady A. What is her name again?
Hillary Scott.
Yeah. And she did a song. And it was a great song. And so we're like, yay, Hillary Scott. But then their band does like songs that don't line up with our, you know, faith mm-hmm. and things like that. And there's been multiple artists. I think one of the most interesting ones lately was Toby had Sheryl Crow on his album, and my wife didn't even know who that was, like who it was singing. She knows Sheryl Crow.
Oh.
She didn't know it was Sheryl Crow on the album. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, you didn't know that? She's like, no. I said, because Christian stations don't talk about it. Mm-hmm. It is the craziest thing. Like they even told us at our station, they're like, yeah, it's Sheryl Crow, but we're not going to focus on that. I guess because she doesn't line up with faith stuff, you know, is straight down the line as we do or whatever. And so they don't want to highlight it. To me, I'm like, I think that's worth highlighting that Toby's attracting somebody who's really good in their field and is singing a song that is a great song and it's a Christian song. I think that's an outreach, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess
I guess the pullback would be if we're promoting her on that song, we're also promoting the music that she's done her whole career.
But see, I don't agree with that. Like, I know people think that way.
Yeah, I'm just telling you what I think other people probably are thinking.
Absolutely. What happens is anytime you celebrate somebody or you highlight somebody, everybody thinks that you are then instantly endorsing everything they've ever done. And I don't think that's the case. I think everything, especially in art, is for the moment. And it's, you can take art for art's sake. You can take that one moment and it's good. She had a great moment with Toby on this album and it can just stand as that. It doesn't mean, oh, I have to agree with everything she agrees with politically. I'd have to agree with, I'm supporting everything she, you know, supports and espouses with gender. You know, like, I don't think it's that at all. Mm-hmm. I don't think it has to be that, but we make it that because everybody has to be on the same team here. You know, we got to all be locked in. We got to all hate the same stuff, you know, and if for some reason, but it's true, right, Rock? Don't you agree?
I mean, to some degree.
Yes, because we have to know what we hate. And so that we all like you can't step out of line and hate something, not hate something everyone else hates in this format, you know? And it's crazy. It's crazy to me.
Whew.
Yeah. It's truth. It's
I didn't
a little
see
bit,
any of that coming.
Not really a rant or anything, but yeah. I mean, this is what we do. I talk off the top of my head. I don't need much to get going.
You don't. You really don't.
I think Betty's tired. I'm still on my coffee high.
Yeah. I think your coffee does the opposite to me. So it jazzes you up, but because you're jazzed up, it wears me
out. Yeah, probably so.
It's like a scale that just goes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What do you got for birthdays, Lady to the Rock?
Well, Melissa wants to wish her dad a happy birthday. Her dad, Bob, said he's amazing. He's a great dad and always there for my siblings and I. So happy birthday, Bob.
Way to go, Bob.
Maya wants to wish her brand new baby, James, a happy birthday. Wait, brand new baby James from his favorite Mimi.
Oh,
like he's born.
Maybe a grandma.
So his...
Yeah, so maybe Maya is a Mimi.
Yeah,
that's what she's like. Saying.
Mm-hmm.
Josh's brand new baby Bubba, we've been waiting for great. Since Saturday. Everyone is so excited to meet him.
I'm curious if Bubba is the real name they went with, or is it already a nickname?
It could be James. The baby's name is James, but they're calling it Bubba.
Okay.
For like.
I was Bubba for like a long time as a little kid.
Wait,
just
because
my sister couldn't say brother. Oh. She was like Bubba. So I was just Bubba for the, you know, greater majority of 6 or 7 years.
That's how Toby Mac got his nickname, Tobias. And Toby, like his niece or something or whatever, couldn't say his name. And so they went with Toby. Like that's,
much easier.
Yeah.
Hmm. Michelle wants to wish her niece, Miri, a happy birthday, M-I-R-R-I.
I would go with that, yeah.
Mary said she loves God and corny dad jokes.
Nice.
Michelle, I guess she's celebrating. Maybe it's the same Michelle, a different Michelle. I'm not sure. But it's today, celebrating her birthday. Not many others from my family listen.
Oh, that's sad. Sorry, so we Michelle. Love you. Thank you for listening.
Said, I love the Wally Show podcast and Aftercast. I listen every day in that order. That's very important.
I appreciate that more than you know. And I know Betty and Gavin do as well. Like, yep. It's a big deal to us. So thank you.
Her question is, what's your recent pet peeve? My recent one is the word thing. Have you noticed people using this word recently? Example, it's a thing.
Mm-hmm. I have found that thing is a catch-all for something that you cannot fully describe. And I found I was writing something the other day and I found myself, I used thing in two sentences and I'm like, no, be more descriptive than that. Like, change it up and so that you're not just going, oh, you know, and it's a cool thing, you know. Mm-hmm. No, it's a cool event that, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I could see that. Mm-hmm. Pet peeves. Oh boy. I had a parking lot pet peeve. We already talked about this in the Aftercast the other day, but I had somebody that was waiting for a spot and that just drives me crazy. And they waited and waited and waited and I couldn't go around them and they waited and waited and waited and kept waiting. And then there was a person behind me. I couldn't even back up. I'm losing my ever-loving mind.
It's the worst.
And then the person gave up and drove away. Like, well, now you've wasted our time. At least finish it out,
right,
you know?
Right. That's annoying. I would say that there is a characteristic that some people do. And maybe if you're one of these people, you may want to work on it. But
is it going to be one of us?
No.
Probably. Oh.
No, it's not either one
Shocker.
Of you. But I've noticed that one of the pet peeves I have is when I'm talking to someone and they are breaking eye contact, they're looking over my shoulder.
Oh.
It's kind of like they're wasting time, or I'm wasting their time, and they're looking over their shoulder, looking around the room to see what else is going on.
I understand this. I went to a big, when I worked for ABC Radio, I went to this big thing, and we had all the vice presidents there, and it was a big deal in the company. And so I was there, and they were handing out funny buttons, you know, that people would wear. And one of the buttons said, "Yes, I'm looking over your shoulder to see who's more important to talk to."
Yes.
And it was very true. Like, I know those social settings, there's a radio conference we do at Momentum, and it's just like that. Everyone glad hands everybody, and then they're looking for who is more important to talk
that.
To. Drives me nuts.
I hate that.
Yeah. I will say, though, that like in some ways I can understand it, because I was at church this last week and I was sitting on the left side of church and I saw people that I was like, oh, I really want to make sure I talk to these people before I leave. And they were on like the middle and the right.
Yeah.
And then as soon as church ended, the guy to my left, who I really don't know that well, started talking to me.
You're like, no, I don't have time for this.
And
sir.
So I was like, I don't want to break this conversation, but I kind of kept making sure to see
where you were making sure they hadn't left.
Yeah. Because I still wanted to talk to these people. So I don't know. It was hard for me to balance being, you know, rude and breaking the conversation.
I understand where you're coming from, but I think if you're the guy that is talking to you, like the one that started the conversation, he may have not known anyone. And
right.
it took some guts for him to even start up a conversation. So if it looks like you're looking back and forth, it's almost
like
people start doing that to me, I just quickly end the conversation because I'm like, they don't care.
Quick question to kind of ascertain the severity of the situation. When you were at church sitting next to this guy, was he singing along with any of the songs?
Probably. He is the husband of one of the female worship leaders.
Oh, okay. So he's probably saved. Okay. Yeah. So you didn't send anyone
to
him.
No. This is a prominent person in the church, not somebody that I was like afraid I would give off the wrong, but not someone I talk to often.
I had a situation at church the other day. My church, for the longest time, obviously during COVID, they would come out, do announcements, and then, you know, we'd stand up and sing a song, and then, you know, blah, blah, blah. So the other day, they've started, hey, everybody, you know, announcement, announcement, announcement. Hey, why don't you say hi and shake hands with the people around you? Like, are you serious? I still don't want to shake people's hands yet. Like, I got used to that in COVID. And this guy, he went right in. He's like, hey, man, how you doing? Hand out. And I'm like, I had to go in. Like, you can't stiff arm him. You got to go. And so I shook his hand. And my wife, I could tell, was like, oh, no, I got to shake people's hands. And then she's trying to, like, do hand sanitizer on the sly, like, during the worship songs.
Really?
Yeah, it was interesting that, like, they are back to full on just greet everybody, you know, hug them, like, go crazy. Because I'm not there yet. I liked not having to touch people's hands. Like,
and that's from a society standpoint, not a you and COVID standpoint.
Yeah, it's more societal. Like, I don't like that time.
I don't either.
I do not like the time. Because everyone does that. Hey, how you doing? How you doing? And I was sitting next to people that I didn't know. And I was sitting down. They'd had us sit down. And they said, hey, say hi to somebody. I'm like, we always sit down. Where's this hi thing coming from? And so I turned around to the lady behind me. And she's like, I'm Alexandra. How are you? And I reached kind of back. And I shook her hand. I'm like, I'm Wally. And then her husband's like, hi, I'm Brad. And he's like, hi, Brad. And my wife is
you
like.
You make them sound so annoying.
Yeah, I know. And my wife is like, stand up. Stand up. You're being rude. I'm like, I was sitting. I didn't change the rules. They changed the rules on me. I'm doing what I've been conditioned to do. Wow. And so I didn't stand up to shake their hands. And my wife said I was being rude.
I didn't realize that when we would all share our pet peeves, you would also share in that pet peeve and then go a little bit further.
That's what I do. Otherwise, we wouldn't have an aftercast.
Gavin, what was your pet peeve?
Oh, it's just not even going to rival this now. So one thing I've been recently realizing is that I've become a sharp shopping cart police where I do not care for people leaving the shopping carts.
Yeah.
Unattended in the parking lot, or I was at Target and people were putting them near the front of the store, but the way they started doing it, it started to block off the exit. Mm. So I started picking up every cart and putting it where it needed to
be. Good for you. Mm.
And I was looking at the people in red shirts like, I'm doing your job. I'm doing your job.
Yeah.
So,
Why aren't they doing it?
You should do that. It's kind of like me taking the crumbs out of the butter. No one's going to do it, so you're going to have to do it yourself. You know, and you're a good man.
A self-proclaimed hero here.
I went back in the other day and butter policed it because I knew I had quickly... Did you ever post that video of me quickly buttering my...
Yes.
I did yesterday.
So I quickly was trying to butter my English muffins before a break and I was really running out of time. But you got to butter them when they're hot. If it cools down, then you put the butter on and you try to do it, it's not as good.
Tell your boss that.
I'm serious. So I'm like quickly trying to do it, but I had so many crumbs in there that I had to go back like 10 minutes later. And Betty, you saw me scraping all the crumbs
Heaven
out.
Forbid. Can't have those crumbs.
I'm a good man. I don't like that.
Though the crumbs are the same thing you're going to eat tomorrow.
Yeah, but they're my crumbs. If it was just my butter, I wouldn't do it. But it's community butter, and I don't want someone to go, oh, that's gross. Someone has crumbs in here. Mm. So respect the crumb. Respect the butter. That's what I do.
Another pet peeve that he has was not that long ago when we had the trash cans that were piling up, and you took the trash out for the whole time. You're like, I can't.
Because people that put their trash in and they can't even fit it all the way in, you should
know
at that moment.
Take the trash out.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You were here last. You didn't, you know, so what? You couldn't get your trash in there. Stop for a minute and take it out.
Yeah.
Like, be an adult. You know, like, that just drives me nuts. If I worked at a daycare, I would understand it. But, like, you work with actual adults that are over 20-something and some in their 40s and 50s, you should know to take out the trash. It doesn't take long. I take out the trash here all the time, you know? I even did Ruth a solid the other day when she came back from COVID. I didn't even tell her about it.
No, you
didn't. I was hoping someone else would, but apparently no one did.
Me and Gavin made an agreement, though.
Yeah.
You didn't tell.
She restocks the fridge, and she does like all the stuff around the office, and she was back from COVID, and I didn't want her to come back and feel like no one did anything, and she had to do it. So
right.
I restocked the fridge. I emptied the dishwasher.
A servant's heart.
It's nice to do. It really is. You know
is.
What? You're the reason I'm the way I am. This is your fault.
Wait a minute. You're always the victim.
Yeah. Yes.
I
am going to go back to just doing what's good for me, and I don't care about anybody else, okay? You did this. It's like a villain story in a cartoon or a Marvel movie.
Uh-huh.
You made me a villain.
You know
today.
What?
Yeah. Today.
You're so dramatic.
I know.
Well, on that note,
we need to find that drop from The Office of Andy talking to Erin, and he's like, I hate drama. And she's like, no, you love drama. I know, I do love drama. We have to find that so we can play that at different times because
true.
I do love drama. All right.
And on that note, thanks for being a potty.